How's everyone doing this morning? Good, good. It's good to see you. It is good to, I'm excited about this series. I love getting into new series. I love just kind of where you can kind of nestle in a little bit, right? We can settle in. We know where we're headed. We know where we're, the trajectory a little bit. And we're going to move into, as you can see from the screen there, you know, the prayers of the Psalms. And we are not going to go through the whole book of Psalms. I don't know if you are familiar with the book of Psalms, but it's pretty extensive. We would be here probably for 2 years at minimum. The way I preach, actually, probably 3 years. But it's a place to go, right? Hopefully you've had this opportunity. Hopefully you've had moments. I know for myself, you know, especially in those challenging seasons of life, even in the good seasons of life, like you can always go to the Psalms, right? Perhaps it's because it's the huge, largest book in the center of your Bible and it's the easiest one to find. You know, when you open the Bible up, it kind of, poof, you can hit Psalms. You know, you don't have to sweat if you're in a Bible study and somebody says, turn to the book of Psalms. You're like, I can find that one easy. But Psalms is just like this, I love that it's kind of centered in the scripture. I love that it's this anchor point because it's just full of just good stuff, right? It reminds me, you know, of as we went through Lamentations, and that was some hard things to read at times, but Psalms, it's that same kind of feel, right? It's gritty. It's these where people just pour their hearts out to God, and I think that's why so many love the Psalms and so many people love to go there because we can relate, right? We can relate to what's being shared. We can relate to the highs, and we can also relate to the lows. We can relate to when questions come out, and they're wondering, God, you know, what's going on here? Perhaps you can relate when they, you know, are like, Lord, show up and, you know, strike our enemies down. You can, yep, there you go. Thanks, honey. Ain't no shame in the game, right? Because that's what we feel at times, like, right? God, when is the justice going to show up? And so, you know, what we're going to do is over the course of the next 7 weeks, we're going to be exploring the Psalms, but as you can, again, as I said, there's so many, we're not going to try to go through all of them, but what we're going to do is there's different types of Psalms. You would say different categories, and depending on who you talk to, which lists, you know, the number varies a little bit, but we'll say seven is where we're going to, because seven's a good number, right? Number of completion, right? So seven, we're going to go with seven. There's seven types we'll kind of categorize, but so we're going to dial in on the kinds of Psalms there are, and I hope you'll enjoy that. I do hope also you'll jump in if you're not in the Psalms right now. What's funny, though, is I've talked to some people, and they're like, well, that's amazing, because actually I'm kind of going through the book of Psalms right now. I'm studying the book of Psalms. So if you're not, hey, jump in, and I think you'll be blessed by it, and so I would invite you to that. So 7 weeks, we're going to be working through this, but and typically if we do like a book study, I'll do a huge backdrop of the book, but I'm going to try to do an abbreviated one for Psalms just as we get out the gate, just because I think it gives us better understanding. But if we look at what is the purpose of the Psalms, what is the purpose of the Psalms, I think that would help us really understand, you know, kind of, I think, the scope of the Psalms. And this, the purpose of the Psalms, one, it is it emphasizes this honest communication with God, right? How many people like to communicate with God? Another word for that is prayer, right? How many like to do so honestly, right? Because if you're dishonest, it doesn't really work that well, does it? It's God knows. So let's just be honest, and that's what you see, and that's what we kind of hit on. What I said already is the Psalms do. They have this honesty about them that I think is refreshing. But the Psalms emphasizes that. It also encourages expressing human emotions, hopes, fears, even anger and praise. Sometimes all in the same moment, right? The Psalms, it's all this emotion which we can, again, we can find those places to relate very quickly, very easily. But here's the deal, and the Psalms brings this out, is that God's word is intended to fuel both our personal and our corporate prayer. If we are not in God's word, if your prayer life is struggling today, if your prayer life has just a little bit of a flicker, and it's just not burning the way you want it to, and I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but my guess would be is your time in the Word of God has diminished. And I want to encourage you in that this morning, that if that's where you're at this morning, where you find yourself, you don't have to stay there. And the Psalms is a great place. Again, you get in there and you start reading these Psalms, and it can fuel your prayer life. It can fuel the prayer life personally, your prayer life personally, but also for us corporately. Listen, we need you. You need us, because we can't be a body. I don't want to go into graphic detail, but if a body was just laying in pieces on the floor, it would not be very attractive, would it? Oh, look, there's a finger. Oh, there's a toe. There's a knee. No, it's when we gather. Sorry, just stay with me, right? It's a cloudy day. Give me some grace. It's when we're together. It's when we're the body of Christ, when we're functioning, when we're worshiping together, and when our prayer life, both personal and corporate, is where it needs to be. And we also will discover here in the Psalms that God hears us. Let me say that again. God hears us, and he desires to draw near to us as we draw near to him. And sometimes, and maybe for even somebody this morning, that's just enough. That was worth the trip in this morning, is to be reminded that God hears us. So what is the book of Psalms? Anybody? Okay, I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you this morning. What is the book of Psalms? Well, it comes from the Hebrew word, it's Tehillim. I practice these words, and then I get up here, and it's really challenging. Tehillim, but that word means simply to praise, all right? And its date of composition ranges, it's a wide, wide range, from the 15th century back to Moses, all the way to the time following the exile in 6 BC, all right? It's a collection of 150 ancient Hebrew poems, songs, and prayers that come from the different eras in Israel's history. Listen to this. So King David, as you guys may have heard of him, he's responsible, or he's credited with 73 of the Psalms. So nearly half of the Psalms are penned, they would say, by David. Another guy named Asaph, he was a prominent Levite musician, and he wrote 12 poems, so a little bit of a, at least not quite, it's a distant second, but he wrote quite a few. And then there's other ones. Sons of Korah produced 11, and other worship leaders all contributed. So there are many people contributed to the book of Psalms. And while many of the Psalms were used by Israel's temple choirs, the book itself is actually not a hymn book. You know, we don't have hymn books here in this building. We've used them in the other one, but we don't use those a lot. But you know, a hymn book is a book of songs. It's not just songs, it's a lot of different things. So the overall design of the book of Psalms, though, and again, you look at, and it takes a lot of pages, you know, you can thumb through them all, but it's nice to kind of understand the big picture. But the number five is an important number to the Jew. If you've heard of the Pentateuch, which is the Torah, penta meaning five, is the first five books of our Bible. That was their law. That was what they looked at. That was what they followed. And so that number five is important. And if you pay close attention in your Bible, even on your, if you use your phone as in the Bible on there, you'll see it. There's headings of the poems in five different places. And there it says book one, book two, book three, book four. And there's these groupings of Psalms. Psalms 3 through 41. Okay, notice it doesn't start right at the beginning. One and two are kind of different. But Psalm 3 through 41 is book one, then it goes 42 through 72, and it's broken up like that. And so if you do go through your Bible, or if you have your Bibles, hopefully you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn actually there to the book of Psalms, because we're going to land there very shortly. But you can see this breakdown, so it's five. So imagine that, five big books, and the last book, five, it finishes with Psalm 145. How many total Psalms did I say there were? Quick quiz. 150, so we're short how many? What? Isn't there order in everything? Have you noticed that? God is a God of order. There's five missing. Do you want to know about them? I'm glad you do. But honestly, it's helpful to start it even at the end, to go to those last five, because those last five, the book of Psalms concludes with five poems. And these five poems are praise to the God of Israel, each beginning and ending with the word hallelujah. Okay, each of those last five. And in Hebrew, this word is a command telling people to praise Yah, hallelujah, right? Meaning praise, and Yah is the abbreviated form of Yahweh. And so they wouldn't say the whole name. So hallelujah. So these last five, they're bookended like that. And it's this ultimately, that's what the book of Psalms, they finish with these praises to God. And it's interesting because as you go through Psalms and you go through the ups and downs, right? It kind of reminds me of life, the valleys and the mountaintops and everything in between and the challenges that we face. But through it all, and I believe that's the point of what the way it ends, is that at the end of it all, through it all, we can still say hallelujah. We can still say praise God. And so, as I shared, we're going to walk through some of these categories, the different categories of Psalms, or the different kinds, if you will, over the next 7 weeks. So those seven, so I'm just give you a quick definitions, quick things, just to kind of get us set up, and then we'll jump into our first target this morning. So the different types of Psalms, they can be broken down into the following. The first kind of Psalms or type of Psalms would be called wisdom Psalms or didactic. And these psalms are the psalms that contain instruction for godly living. Instruction for godly living. And again, that's a place for us to go. That's a place for us to be encouraged. That's a place for us to land when we need to know, you know, what does it look like to be a believer? What does it look like to follow the Lord? And so that's where these wisdom psalms, and this is where we're going to start here just in a few minutes this morning. Then another category of psalms are the psalms of hymns or praise. So there are hymns in the book of Psalms. There are these praise psalms, if you will, and they declare who God is, and they praise him for his unchanging character and how all this affects creation. And so you'll see some of these places where honestly, a lot of the worship songs we do, if you look, a lot of them are pulled from the book of Psalms, even the modern ones. And so we can always praise the Lord. We can always praise God. We can find those places, and that's what some of those psalms are. The third type are what are called imprecatory psalms. Imprecatory. Everybody say imprecatory. It's just fun to say, right? Just pull one of those out when you're out in a casual conversation with somebody and see where they're at. But these type of psalms, and I'm probably going to get amen on this, but calls for God's justice on one's enemies, usually in a violent way. I'm going to decide which one we're going to land on that week, but some of them get pretty dicey, Old Testament style. If everybody ever says, hey, I'm going to go Old Testament on you, we know what that means. It's in the book of Psalms, right? It gets a little crazy. So imprecatory, and everybody's like making note of that when I see y'all writing that one down. Like, this is the place I'm going to be in the next week, praying for people, right? imprecatory. And then next kind of psalm is Thanksgiving, Psalms of Thanksgiving. Thanking God for what he has already done in the past, which helps us thank him in the present. And man, we need to spend time in those, don't we? We need to remember what God has done in our past. We need to remember how God has been faithful because that allows us, regardless of where we are today, to thank him. Then there's a type of psalms called royal psalms, and this focuses on the Lord's kingship and his sovereignty. You know, think of that kingly part, and God is God of creation over all. This he deserves praise and honor. That's we bow before him. That's those types of psalms. Then there's psalms of lament. Psalms of lament. Again, a passionate expression of grief. You know, we spend our time, you know, in lamentations, and you know, the psalms also echoes a lot of those things or those places where there's this lamenting and this pain and that's carried out, this expression of grief, and it's a place for us to go just to be comforted and to see how God, you know, walked with those people during that time. And then finally, there's psalms called penitential psalms, and those psalms are what express contrition and repentance. And again, these are psalms that we really need to spend time with as well, right? And those are psalms that maybe aren't fun, but it's kind of like holding up the mirror to our heart, isn't it? It's a psalm where it's bringing out this concept or this thought or this idea that we have to, there are places, just like we started this time together when I came up, we repent of our sin. It's that's why the cross is there. And so you know, the Psalms are there, and they help us. They can help us in that. And so, these are the seven types of Psalms, and we're going to be taking one each week. And so, you'll be able to walk through all of those. And I hope in your own personal time as well during the week, you're able to visit some of those. And so, today, as I said, we're going to get into the Wisdom Psalms a little bit, and I'm going to focus primarily on Psalm 1:1. That'll be our primary focus this morning. We'll pull a couple other things in. But examples of wisdom psalms are Psalm 1, 14, 37, 73, Psalm 91, if you're familiar with that one, Psalm 112, Psalm 119, and Psalm 128. And so these are just it's a kind of a smattering, if you will, of options. And you don't have to search far to find more info if you want to just focus on those maybe this week. But the big idea of the message today and looking at these wisdom psalms is that the psalms do give us wisdom on how to live, as well as how to pray and how to meditate on God's word. Now, Psalm 1:1, and we're I'm going to read this here in just a moment. If you want to turn in your Bibles, you can turn there, else it'll be on your screens. And Psalm 1:1. Okay, so remember, and I always like to pause and stop and think, because anytime you go into a book of the Bible or that first chapter, even that first line, verse 1, I think it's always smart to pause and say, okay, this is the very first thing they're going to say, all right? And so to look, especially a book of Psalm with 150, you know, different chapters, what's chapter 1 say? I think it's important, and so I want us to come at it with that thought. And so Psalm 1:1-6, let's read through, and then we'll jump in a little deeper here. Psalm 1:1, beginning in verse 1, says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so." Okay, so we see a contrast here. "The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for your word, God. I thank you again for this time that we have to settle into this amazing book, Lord God. We are thankful, Lord, for your word. We are thankful, Lord, that if we just go there, God, we can find basically all the answers we need in life. God, we thank you that it's clear, Lord. If I'm wondering what you're saying right now, Lord, I can read your word, and it's there. It's clear, black and white. And so, God, we pray, Lord, that today your word would just be made alive to us. God, that it would land, and God, as I always say, Lord, that it would bring about change in our hearts. God, speak to us this morning. We trust you with that, and we ask you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, amen. So in this opening book, it's not a really long book, the opening chapter, it's not super long, but it's contrasting, right? There's two people groups here, you would say. You could contrast and you could say, you know, there's a group that's wise or that's walking in wisdom, and there's a group that's wicked. Now, if I asked for a show of hands of how many people would fall into group A or group B, I wonder how many of us would land in one or the other, right? Maybe we'd be afraid to raise our hand for either. Now, I don't know if you've noticed this, but in our culture as of late, I feel like there's a shift happening, right? There's a shift that's happening. And in the movie scene, have you noticed this uptick on developing the backstories of villains? Anybody? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands because you might kind of throw yourself under the bus a little bit. But so the movie Joker, for example, again, I guess it's more true to the comics and stuff like that, but it's very dark, but it goes into his backstory. And anybody know Joker and Batman? All right, everybody with us? Okay, just want to make sure. It's so Joker, you know, it goes and it shows, you know, there's the mental health things and how he's kind of outcast. And what do you feel when you start watching the movie? You feel like compassion. You're like, man, this guy's had it pretty bad. He's almost kind of justified in what he's doing, you know? I mean, your heart starts to go out. How about did you guys, I mean, maybe that's too dark for some of us. How about Cruella DeVille? Right? Anybody watch the new one? I mean, it's not that new anymore. It's like a few years ago. I know none of you. But you watch it and you end up kind of liking her. Like, wow, she's not a bad, you know, and she just kind of ends up in this bad place. Okay, so maybe I'm going to. How about this one? Anybody, we all love the movie Wicked, right? The musical. They made a musical. Wicked. Everywhere you look, Wicked. You know? We'll put some Wicked banners up outside the church and see how that goes. But you put anything to song, right, and it's okay, right? Murder. You know, it's just like whatever it is. Theft. You can put it to music and it's all good. But Wicked, which I somehow, mostly because I think my youngest son, I managed to sit through. I think I was conscious for most of it. And I'm going to offend some of you today, which is really funny because you're so passionate about Wicked. But listen, I know it's like, man, this Pastor Dell, man, he's just no fun. He's just dialing on these things. You know what? I'm okay with that. I'm good now. I'm okay being that. But if we look at this movie, and again, it's funny parts and there's things, there's light and the music, the score's really good, and the cinematics and all that stuff. And hey, there's a second part coming out. If you didn't know, I'm sure all of you did because you're waiting in eager anticipation. I'm not. But it's, what did they do? They took Galinda, is how you say her name, right? The Good Witch, Galinda? Okay, Galinda. Who I liked Galinda when I was a kid. You know, she was like, oh yes, give me that happy one. And they somehow do this, right? And they take the Wicked Witch of the West, who we, you know, especially as older folks were born and, you know, the Wicked Witch, and they, now you're like, well, man, now the Good Witch is bad and the bad witch is good, but they're both witches, which is all bad. So. But I think this points to something in our culture that's worth looking at, where we're taking what is bad or what is evil, or you know, this wicked witch, and you know, it doesn't just stop there. It can be anything that's evil or bad, and we're making it good. In Mark 7, 20 through 23, Jesus says this. Listen to what he says, because there's two paths here, and we're going to get into Psalm 1 here, this the wicked and the wise. The wicked and the wise. And Jesus says in Mark 7, beginning in verse 20, he says this. He says, it is what comes from inside that defiles you. For from within, out of a person's heart, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, lustful desires, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. And all these vile things come from where? Within. They are what defile you. You know, we start the list probably, if you're like me, I'm like, okay, evil thoughts, maybe. I don't really evil, you know, theft. I'm not stolen anything. I've not murdered anyone. I'm not, maybe envy, pride, uh-oh. Foolishness, uh-oh. Right? Because see, the danger is we let ourselves off the hook, right? We become the Wicked Witch of the West and we're not that bad. If you knew my story. But we see these two paths, wisdom and wicked. Walking a path, as you know, requires you to choose which way you will go. We cannot walk two. If you've ever stood at the start of two paths, you can walk it for about three steps and straddle it. But then after that, either you're going to stop or you're going to have to choose one or the other or go back, right? And here we're talking about is either a path of wisdom or it is a path of wickedness. And the Word of God in relationship with Him, church, is what keeps us on the path of wisdom. Because if we are not careful, our heart constantly longs. And it's almost like these paths, and you can see this other one in your heart is at times wanting to pull you to that other path. Why? Because it looks a lot better. It's wider. It's well-traveled. There's a lot more people in that one. And so Psalm 1:1, it opens up with this, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers." That word blessed there is the corresponding term that Jesus used when it was translated when he his Sermon on the Mount in the Beatitudes. It's that same blessed is the man. And we see here that there's a progression that is being laid out. Three phrases or three aspects, three degrees of departure away from God. And it portrays conformity to this world in three levels. The first is accepting its advice. My question to us this morning is, where do you go when you need an answer? What is the first place you turn to? Don't say the Bible. Say Google. Come on. We're all being honest here today. Hey, Siri. Just keep looking at me and they won't know it's you. Just keep looking. But it starts with accepting its advice. And again, we're having some fun. You know, if I need to figure out how to put a toaster together, I'm going to probably go to Google because I don't know that layout's in Scripture, okay? Maybe I missed it. I'm going to go to Google. So I'm saying there are places for that. But when I'm talking about the deeper things, the things of the heart, when we start looking at for the world for those responses, this is why it's also, man, just stay with me, please. This is why we're doing a better job as a church recognizing mental health. But where you go for that help is critical. Because if you do not go to somewhere that has a Bible foundation, you will end up somewhere far away in an island, far away from what Scripture says or what God wanted. So be careful, right? Good to pursue, good to see Christian counselors, but make sure you know where their foundation is, all right? That was for free. All right. We start accepting advice, and next we see, again, it's this process, right? It's the walking, standing, and then sitting. So the second one is being party to its ways, this standing in the way of sinners. You know, there are times where I think that we as a church and followers of Christ, if we're not careful, we can end up in that place where people can't distinguish us from people that are not walking with the Lord. We are so in the world that we have become of the world instead of being separated. Again, we are in the world. We're supposed to be around sinners, but there's a difference when we become party to its ways, to what they're doing. We begin to participate, and it's a slippery slope, isn't it? And lastly, we see this movement to this where we're seated amongst scoffers, adopting the most fatal of its attitudes. For scoffers or mockers, they are the farthest from repentance because they're no longer just, you know, doing something wrong. Now they're throwing, you know, accusations and making fun of what is right. They are scoffers. In Proverbs 3:34, it says that he mocks those who mock but gives grace to the humble. Who's he? God. You see, when we get to that place, if we're mocking his word, if we're mocking what's right, even if it's to fit in, God of the universe, the one that is on our side, it says that he mocks us. Can we all agree that's not the place we want to be? We want to be there where there's grace to the humble. So I know what your question is now. Well, what about evangelism? Jesus was with sinners, right? He hung out with sinners. This doesn't let you off the hook. And this is knowing, one, where your heart is, knowing what your purpose is. Why are you there and how are you there? And who is it that you do life with? And I realize, you know, I think it's good. We need people that are not following Jesus around us. Because why? We're supposed to be a light in the darkness. And if we're a light amongst lights, that's wonderful. We're just a big bright light together. But we are supposed to go into the world, but you have to know where. Like, I would not go to Mardi Gras at the height of all that's going on there. I would not do that. That's not my calling. And I'm not called to that. But people that do and that are function in that, and they know, you know, that God's hand rests upon them, they can go in there and they can function and they can carry light into the darkness, into very dark places. But my question is where are you today? And how are you doing, and why are you doing it? Why are you around those that you're around with? Let's go to verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law, he meditates day and night. Would we use the term today that we delight? Would we use that term delight to describe our time in the Word? Some of us would say yes. Some of us, maybe, you know, we're kind of like, I'm going to stay still. And it's okay. I shared this with a group of guys the other day. Like, I can't say that I delight every day I get into God's Word. Now, I will say, as I pursue and persevere and spend some time there, my attitude usually shifts. But it doesn't always start there. Sometimes it's hard. In Psalm 119, this is another wisdom chapter, if you will. I'm going to just touch on it briefly. In Psalm 119, it's the longest psalm of the Bible. It's been called the golden alphabet of the Bible because it's 22 sections. And remember Lamentations, how it was acrostics of the Hebrew alphabet? It's the same with this. There's 22 sections, one for each letter. And some of the translations even put those letters. You'll see them in there in each one. But it's so important. And if you go through it, you'll see very quickly there's so many references to God's Word, okay? I'm going to just go through very briefly here the first 8 verses of Psalm 119, okay? So blessed are those whose way is blameless and who walk in the law of the Lord, okay? Law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep what? His testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I will not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. Now, we see very quickly, again, there's a few references to the Word of God. And while the exact number varies slightly depending on how one defines reference, most sources agree that at least 171 of the 176 verses contain a reference to God's Word. For fun, hopefully you write in your Bibles. I know some don't, but if you do, go through and highlight sometime. See if you can pick out all of those things and watch how many. It's crazy, 171 out of 176. So we see that God's Word is important, isn't it? And if we logged our time somewhere, if somebody were to look at a log of where you spend your time, would it reflect that fact? We just agreed that God's Word is important. In fact, it's critical to our walk with God. And how do we land? How do we get to delighting in God's Word? Well, it's a progression. First, it can start out as duty, right? It's our duty to be in the Word of God. Some of you maybe are in this place today. It's our duty. And it's this initial sense of obligation or responsibility to engage in certain practices, often seen as necessary for growing or growth or to please God. And so we start this is what I should do. And so I'm doing it, right? And from there, you move to somebody else. This is not my original, layout here. What goes next, you know? No? It's okay if you don't. Discipline. Can I get an amen to discipline? Discipline. All us military guys. But it's the truth. You start with like, what in the world? What's going on? But then after a while, you actually appreciate and you learn to actually like the discipline. I miss the discipline of the military. There's a discipline that moves from duty to discipline. And this is where we cultivate habits and routines. It's training oneself to engage in these practices consistently, even when motivation is low. Low motivation, days like this, seasons like this, motivation is low. But if we have that discipline, it's what keeps us moving, right? Right? It does. It's not a bad thing. And then ultimately, duty to discipline, we end up with delight. The closest thing I can get to on this, other than going to God's word, is running. When I used to do when I was younger, I don't run anymore. Unless somebody's chasing me, something's on fire, in those types of situations. Or there's a dessert that somebody's about to take. But we get to this place, delight. Notice how I tied dessert and delight. It's really close to the same. Delight, right? And this is the ultimate goal when we come to God's word, where the practices become enjoyable and a source of joy and fulfillment. And that is what we just alluded to a second ago. Is when I wake up early in the morning sometimes, or when I get up and I'm going to spend time with the Lord, I can't say that I'm like, woo, but I know I should. And I almost go through all these in a few moments, and I sit down and I start to get in there, and I'm spending time in prayer, and he begins to show things to me in his word, and he shows up, his presence is there, and then I'm like, oh man, this is awesome. And I come to this place of delighting and in anticipation even for like the next day, like, man, I can't wait to get back here. Or maybe later that day, crazy thought, right? We can go to the Bible more than once a day. Maybe that same day, man, I can't wait to get back. I want to be in God's word again. Duty, discipline, and delight. And what is the result? It says that he, verse 3, is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. I don't know about you, but that sounds like that's where I want to be. Right? I want to be planted by that stream of water that yields its fruit. When? In its season. And I want you to see that. I want you to recognize that this morning, because you may not see it right away. But as we're consistent, it's like we've always talked about, you put that seed in the ground, you come back the next day, it's like, well, I guess it failed. Right? We wouldn't do that. But if we water it and we keep taking care of it, and pretty soon this little thing, well, why isn't it 6 feet tall? I got gypped. Well, because you have to keep nurturing, you have to keep caring for it. And as you do, that will continue to grow. Its roots will become grounded and deep. And that's the same with us. As we spend time in God's word, you may not feel it or see it the first time, or the second time, maybe after a couple weeks. But as you stick with it, you begin to go through that duty, that discipline, and you begin to delight. And pretty soon you're going to produce fruit. Now, very briefly, because we don't have to spend a lot of time, because I know it's not anybody in here, let's move to the wicked. The result is, it says, the wicked are not so, but they are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Let me say that again. The way of the wicked will perish. Is there any question what happens? They will perish. And they're compared to what's called chaff, right? This is the contrast here from the path of wisdom. Chaff, it's this light, there's weightlessness to it. It's this extra stuff that's blown around. If you've ever seen, where they thresh things, right? They throw this up so that the seeds, they fall to the ground, but the stuff, and it's made, actually I saw with barns, and they open both sides of it so the wind blows through, so that as they throw this stuff up in the air, the wind will take the extra stuff out, and only what matters remains, right? And this is what the wicked is being compared to. And it reveals this idea that there's a day of judgment that is coming. And it says the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. What does that mean? That they bypass? No, it means that the wicked will not be able to stand in the judgment. They won't be able, there's nothing they can stand on. They don't have Christ. And then it goes on further, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Where all the righteous are on that day of judgment, when all the righteous are gathered together, no sinners are going to be present there. Now, we're all sinners, but we're what? We're saved by grace. We're getting into eternity on Jesus's credentials, not our own. That's the reality. And if you don't have those credentials, and even if you're the evil, the wicked witch that's become good by culture standards, that's not going to get you in. Because we're all wicked. And we need a savior. And the beauty is that, I'm trying to stay focused here. Listen, the cross, when we come to Christ, he saves us. But the beauty of the cross and the work of the cross doesn't end there. That's just the beginning. The cross is what continues to refine us. The cross is what, so we don't have that excuse of, well, that's just the way I am. That's, I'm wicked. No. God doesn't give us that. Understand that. That God, it's a process. We are walking out on this earth as we grow and God refines us and God pulls those things out of our heart that are not supposed to be there. There's a justification at salvation, and then there's a process of sanctification that we're all in. It's hard when I have to give the first sermon because I have to do all the intro work of the whole series at the front end. There's a lot of stuff I like to share, but let me just dial this in here. Church, I want us to understand this, that, and what I'm trying to get at, and you know, we're looking at these things of wicked versus wisdom, wise, you know, the path of the wicked, the path of the wise. Here's the reality is that we are called to walk different than the world. We're called to walk different than the world. We are called to walk in the light. And I believe what God wants us to hear this morning is that if we're not careful, we can get caught up in the things of this world, the things where we're doing good by the world standards. You're an all-star. You're a saint. You do all these great things, and you know you even have a great family, and you're on the outward, you're doing all these things, and you know by the world it's like check, 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 check. But if you're not careful, you can end up on this path of wickedness. And I hope through all of that we've said and all that we've gone through this morning, I hope you realize that we can be wicked and look good at the same time. And then we come into church. We're not coming to church, we are the church. We come to this building, we gather as the church. We gather even sometimes in our wickedness. And we sing praises to God. If we're not careful, and this is, hear me in this. This is what it can happen, and we if we're not careful, we won't even realize it, that we're in it. And this is especially true. This is why what we're getting at this morning, if you are not in the Word of God, often you can sell yourself a lie that says, you know what, I'm doing pretty good. And throughout the Old Testament, you see where there were these offerings. The offerings, even you go back to Cain and Abel, right? Both were offerings. What was the issue? The heart was the issue. And we can come in and raise our hands and we can pray and we can genuinely mean it. But if those offerings are being offered up in a heart that's wicked, a heart that's away from the Lord, a heart that's drifting, guess what? It means nothing. Right? That's what the Word of God says. This is the danger when we start to lean so much on this cheap grace versus authentic grace. We sell ourselves this lie, like, well, there's grace, there's forgiveness. I can roll like that. That's true. But remember, you're coming into the presence of a holy God. You are offering up something to a holy God. In our heart matters. 1 John 1, 5 through 10 says this. It says, this is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with who? I hope you're catching this. We can't have fellowship here if we're not walking in the light, if we're not doing what we're supposed to do. If you're not walking in that place, in that path of wisdom, we cannot have unity and fellowship here in the body of Christ right here. But if we walk in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Understand that all that came after the but if we walk in the light. Then the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So what happens if we're not walking in the light? As we prepare to close this morning and this time here in the Word, the thing I want us to walk away from is as we begin this series in Psalms, and as we've looked at this wisdom that we can glean from the Psalm, is that we can come to God in prayer. We can come to God in prayer, and you know, we may be in that place of things are happening in our heart and kind of churning, but we have to, it's when we come to God in prayer, when we go to his word, it's what shines light on those places, especially those places that we may not be aware of. Why? Not so that we can hide it more, so that we can shift, you know, focus on something else. It's so that we can deal with it, right? So that we can bring it to the Lord. Three things I want you to think about this morning as we wrap is what is your position today? Who is around you? Where are you spending the majority of your time with? Second is the path. Which path do you find yourself on this morning? Are you truly on the path of wisdom and knowing God and pursuing God and being in his word? Or are we on a path that's far worse, a path of the wicked? And if you walk away with nothing else this morning, I hope you walk away with the sense that any of us is capable of being wicked, of walking on that path. Don't discount, don't give yourself, and I'm not giving myself too much credit. We have to be careful of that. But where are you going? What path are you on? And lastly, producing. What is it that you're producing today? What fruit are you bearing today? And maybe you're in that season of it's still coming to fruition, and that's fine. Maybe you're growing. But if you've been in that season for, you know, a couple decades, we may want to pause and say, God, I want to produce fruit in my life. I want people to see, to know you. I want people to know that I'm a follower of Jesus. The word meditation as it's been called to it. I read about that it can be tied to almost like when a cow chews its cud. You guys know that, how all that works, I'm sure. You're all smart folks in here. But that's what a cow does. It eats, but it'll eat that, you know, to pull it back up and pull more nutrients out 3-4 times sometimes. And that's the same thing we're supposed to do with the Word of God is you don't just read it once. That's great. You read it once and you glean from it, but there's times when you have to pull that back up and there's more to pull out of it. Meditate on it. Meditation on the Word of God is different than meditation in the world. Meditation in the world is emptying of yourself. Meditation on God's Word is filling up on God. It's focusing on God, not on just you. So would you bow your heads? I'm going to pray for us this morning. Gracious God, we come before you together today, longing to be counted among the blessed, not those who walk in step with the wicked. Lord, turn our hearts from every voice that draws us away from you. Keep us, Lord, from patterns of living that dishonor your name. And Lord, please help us as a community of believers, Lord, to delight in your word. to meditate on it together day and night, and to encourage one another to grow deeper in your truth. God, make us like those trees that we read about that are planted by the streams of water, strong, rooted, Lord, nourished by your Spirit. And Lord, may we bear fruit in every season and not wither when the heat of life comes. Lord, let everything we do be shaped by your will and prosper in your time. Do not let us be like the chaff that is blown away by the winds of this world. But Lord, keep us grounded in your righteousness. Give us courage, Lord, to stand firm in times of testing and to walk in the way that leads to life. Thank you, Lord, that you watch over the way of the righteous. Father, lead us as a people into your way, into that way, that we may honor you with our lives, Lord. Lord, that we reflect your goodness to the world around us. We pray this together in the name of Jesus. Amen.